Harper Audio presents The American Bible, How Our Words Unite, Divide, and Define a Nation, by Stephen Prothero. Read by Andrew Iden. Introduction. Words matter. They move individuals to tears and to action. They make or break communities. In Israel and the Palestinian territories, India and Pakistan, Great Britain and the United States, words tie people together and tear them apart. Socrates lives because of Plato's dialogues. The world remembers Jesus because of the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what Americans recall of Paul Revere, we owe to the poetry of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. In his Gettysburg Address, perhaps the greatest American speech ever, President Lincoln said, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here." He was wrong. Americans have largely forgotten what Union and Confederate soldiers did at Gettysburg during three bloody days in July 1863. But we have not forgotten Lincoln's words, which continue to be quoted and misquoted, interpreted and misinterpreted for all sorts of purposes. In the few minutes Lincoln spoke at Gettysburg, he explained why the Civil War was being waged, why the Union was worth preserving, and why the United States was founded. His words, "conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, a new birth of freedom," are now part of our lexicon. They live not because Americans agree with everything Lincoln said, but because they agree that everything he said is worth debating. What does it mean to affirm government of the people, by the people, for the people? Depends on whom you ask. And if you ask enough Americans, you'll see that the nation rests not on agreement about its core ideas and values, but on a willingness to continue to debate them. From the beginning of the American experiment, foreign visitors noted a key difference between the United States and its European kin. It was not held together by blood or custom. Its citizens had no common history going back to the ancients. They spoke different languages and worshipped in different ways. "If there is a country in the world where concord, according to common calculation, would be least expected, it is America," wrote that great propagandist for revolution, Thomas Paine. "Made up as it is of people from different nations, accustomed to different forms and habits of government, speaking different languages and more different in their modes of worship, it would appear that the union of such a people was impracticable." What constituted America, these observers argued, were ideas, a common commitment to key words such as liberty, equality, constitutionalism, and republicanism. But that is not quite right. At least it's not complete, because these ideas conflict with one another. Our republic of letters is a republic of conversation, constituted, divided, reconstituted, and maintained by debate over the meaning of America and Americans. Whenever we say, "That is un-American," or "That is what America is all about," we are declaring our allegiance to this republic. And whenever our fellow citizens disagree with us, they are doing the same. Such declarations are charged because our unity is fragile. In every generation, our pluribus threatens to overtake our unum. In every generation, the nation must be imagined anew. So we are forever anxious about possible threats to our unity: immigrants, traitors, un-American ideas. Americans agree to a surprising degree about which symbols and ideas are central to our national life, but we disagree profoundly about what these symbols and ideas mean and how they ought to be translated into public policies. The fights Americans have about who has stolen America and who is going to take it back focus, to be sure, on key words such as liberty and equality, on the ideas that energize the new nation and, for a time, rent it asunder. But this conversation is also inspired by key phrases: a city on the hill, we the people, one nation under God, I have a dream, and by inescapable speeches, songs, and stories that carry these words and phrases down through the generations. Finally, and most important, America's conversation about itself is fueled by passion. Words have the power to make things happen, but that power is weak unless it is sparked by the passions that thinkers from David Hume to David Brooks have seen as the key drivers of political action and human history.